All right. Well, good morning again, everybody. Let's go to the book of Galatians, please. You know what? If you take a ribbon, you put one in Galatians chapter 5, and then you could put the other one in Romans chapter 5. That might make things a bit easier. Although we may go to some other scriptures I don't know yet. I've been looking at some things in the Word regarding believing, and one of the things that you see is how believing and grace and hope and love are just so tied together. It's really beautiful. We were called to live by believing on our Lord Jesus Christ, and by believing all that He has wrought. We heard that in Manifestations. There's a situation here in Galatia where these wonderful believers had been taught that. They knew that. They'd been taught by the Apostle Paul. And they'd been taught regarding grace. They'd been taught regarding believing who Jesus Christ was, what He'd done. And somewhere along the way, they got talked out of that. And they got talked out of that grace, that it was by grace. I should probably open, we're going to get to chapter 5 here in Galatians, but I'm going to read a little of chapter 1, just to sort of set it. This turning from grace was a big deal. And this epistle opens a bit differently than the other epistles. He kind of gets right to it. In verse 1 it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me and of the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world or present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. This was all God's idea. It was His counsel. This is what He wanted to do. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Isn't that something? Right out of the gate, you know, I marvel, I'm astounded, I'm amazed at how you've been removed. And what they were removed from was the grace of Christ, that grace that's in Christ. You know what that tells you? They've been walking in that. They've been taught that. See? That's something. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at this. These are heavy words. But though we, you know, me, Paul, Timothy, Silas, though we, one of us, Barnabas, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We're not mincing words here. As we said before, let me just say this one more time. And so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Boy, he's getting right to it, isn't it? See, this was a big deal. They had had walked in that grace, and now they were walking by something else. Okay? Now, with that in mind, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians continues addressing this problem of turning from spirit to flesh, of walking according to the flesh, going back into bondage as opposed to freedom. And Galatians 5, verse 1 opens with, the King James reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay? Now, in the Greek, these are, in most critical Greek texts, these are independent clauses. So, in the working translation, it reads like this: Christ freed us with freedom. Therefore, stand fast and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Isn't that beautiful? Christ freed us with freedom. Okay? So, don't be entangled. Verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. The old covenant. The law of Moses. Isn't that something? "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." If you are required as a saint to be circumcised, then you are required to do all of the law, is what this is saying. You don't just pick and choose. See? Do it all. If it's law, then it's law. But it's not law. Verse 4. "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you that are justified or made righteous by law, you are fallen from grace." Isn't that something? You are fallen from grace. It's as if Christ didn't pay the price. It's as if Christ didn't die for your sins and that you have to do more. And then it says you're fallen from grace. Now this word "fallen," I just want to take a minute with this. It's a Greek word that is used of ships that drift off course. They drift off course. That can be a subtle thing. That can be a subtle thing. Where you're off course and you don't even know it. You know, that could happen. Your bow is, you know, pointed in the right direction, but you're moving off to the right or moving off to the left. And that's something. You just kind of drift off course. See? This was done, this was presented in such a way that looked good. It was palatable. It looked like it could work. It fit. See? Isn't that something? You know, and that is man's tendency. Man's tendency is to repudiate grace. And when I say that, I don't mean on an intellectual level. I think grace isn't difficult to understand. What I mean is on a practical level. In your walk, in your approaching your Heavenly Father, in what you expect from your Heavenly Father. That's what I mean. It's the nature of man to repudiate that which God has freely offered and made available, and to attach some kind of addendum onto that. And what the adversary did here via these Judaizers that were trying to mess with these saints was to appeal to that flesh. It appealed to the flesh. It looked good. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So, they drifted. They drifted off course. Verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. We're going to come back to this in a moment. It's really beautiful. But we wait for that hope of righteousness by what? By believing. See, we are righteous now by what Jesus Christ did, but there's a righteousness to come. We're justified now, but there's a justification to come. You understand? We're redeemed now, right? We're bought with a price. We belong to God. That's what this word Spirit is, by the way. It's new nature. It's all that you have. It's by means of that life which God has given. And all that comes with it, all your rights, privileges, abilities, manifestations, everything we have, all wrapped up in that Spirit life, that's how we wait for that hope. By what? By believing. We received it by grace. We're going to see that in just a moment. We received it all by grace. But we wait for that hope by believing because we don't have that hope, do we?
No.
But we know that it's coming. We know our Lord's going to return because God said it. That's believing. Right? And that believing is your confidence in what God has said He will do, which is send His Son. That's what we're waiting for. We wait for that hope. Now, if you put a ribbon here, now we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. We wait for that hope of righteousness. And this is a little bit about what that's going to look like. Romans 5. And as I read these, I want to... This is where I fall short in my abilities. As a matter of fact, I don't really have much abilities. I just, we'll see what happens here. But I want to think of these verses in light of our walks. Just our walks. Just you, me, my Lord, my Savior. Your Lord, your Savior, what He did for you, okay? As we read these. Let's start up in verse 20 of chapter 4. This is in reference to Abraham. Verse 20, it says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in, and it should read, the believing, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, what God had promised, He was able to perform. That's what believing is. It's based on what God has promised or said. And therefore, it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness. Now, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for or because of our offenses and was raised again for our justification or when we were justified. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? We have access by believing or by the believing into this grace wherein we stand. Into this grace wherein we stand. It is by believing. It is by believing on Jesus Christ that we have access by grace. That's where we stand. And we rejoice or we boast in what? We boast in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's where our boast is. That's where we're headed. That's the end. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. It's about our hope. It's about that life that will be fully evidenced, fully manifested at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is first. We are next. When he returns for us, we'll have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And for all of eternity, we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And it's all by grace. By whom we have access, by that believing into this grace wherein we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And not only, but we boast in tribulations. See? We boast in tribulations. Look at this is all in light of grace, our access, and hope. Okay. Without hope, without that hope, then the temporary becomes more important. It becomes bigger. Do you understand? The emphasis ends up on this life. Your eyes end up on you. But we want to keep our eyes on the hope, on the return, because the day is absolutely coming, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you feel like, where we're going to stand in front of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are. He's coming back. Nice grab. He's coming back. Isn't that something? That's real. That's real. See? That's our hope. And we boast in it. We boast in it. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be gathered together. It is going to be awesome. See? And not only, but we boast in mental pressure, knowing that tribulation or that mental pressure worketh or brings about what? Patience. Brings about patience. Because we're staying put. You know, in James we saw that those temptations, those, you know, pressures and pleasures, it's that which proves your believing. You stay put on God's word. See? You choose God. No matter what's going on, you choose God. And our boast is in the hope. See? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And we end up stronger as a result. It builds patience. And that patience, boy, it's not just putting up with. It's a bearing up under, but there's a hope here. There's an end game going on. There's a strength to it. Because of who we're relying on. That's God. His word, right? Mm-hmm. He's able to perform that which he has promised. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So, we boast in that. We don't get taken up by it. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. See? Boy, it lands at hope. It's so beautiful. And hope maketh not ashamed. It won't be a disappointment. You're not going to be disappointed in your expectations. That's what it means. It's to be ashamed because you boasted in this thing, you built this thing up, and you get there, and it's like, man, that's not what I thought. This place is kind of dumb. That's not going to happen. You understand? It's going to be awesome. You know? We're not going to be disappointed, not going to be put to shame in that way. Because the love of God is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by Holy Spirit. And that's referring to the gift, that gift of Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Isn't that beautiful? It's been demonstrated. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, God demonstrated what? His love. His love. What about now? What about now? Okay, let's go back to Galatians. We're almost done. Let's start in verse 4 again. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen, you've drifted, you've gone off course from grace. For we through the Spirit, and that's again, all that comes with that new nature, that's rights, the privileges, the abilities, all that is part of that new life. Wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, not in Christ, nor uncircumcision, not in Christ, but what? Believing, which is energized by love. Isn't that something? See? But believing, which is energized by love. You know, keep your finger here. Go to Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 3. Let's start in verse 12. It says, put on therefore, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love. Love, which is the bond or the uniting bond of perfectness or maturity. Isn't that something? It's love. It's love that is that uniting bond of maturity. See, that's Christ Jesus. That's what that's all about. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Verse 3, chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Okay, so this was the charge. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in believing or which is by believing. Now, the end of the commandment, referring back to this charge, is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of what?
Believing
faith, believing unfeigned without hypocrisy. Isn't that something? That's the point. That's where good or right doctrine ends. That's God's word. See? Isn't that something? That's where it ends. It's love and believing. See? Now, let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I told you, this is going to be about hope, love, believing, grace. It's pretty cool because we got it all by grace. It's all by God's grace. And what we want to do is we want to stay put in that grace in our practical lives. See? In our practical lives. Let's just read a couple more verses here. Which is energized by love in verse 6. Verse 7, you ran well. You did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This word hinder is to cut off. It's like you know, somebody cut you off. That's right. They were hindered. Somebody cut them off. You ran well. Who hindered you? This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you. A little leaven leaveneth the what? The whole lump. That's something. A little bit. That's all it takes. A little bit. Jesus Christ taught about this in the Gospels, about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Disciples thought he was talk about bread, but whatever. They figured it out. But here it's a little leaven. Leavens the whole lump. It only takes a little bit, and it affects that whole piece of bread. See? It affects the whole thing. Isn't that something? Just a little bit. It's a little bit. We just read about right doctrine in 1 Timothy. See? Here, it's grace. These saints had drifted away from grace. They'd been hindered. Somebody cut them off and directed them to their flesh. The adversary is very good at this. It's not typically going to be somebody comes up to you and say, you know, this grace is a bunch of, you know, hooey, right? No, you're not going to bite on that. But, you know, have you ever had something from your past mess with you? You know, kind of hold you back from really going to your Father? Or believing that you'll have what you need? You know, or try and, you know, work on a weakness or a shortcoming, you know, so that, I don't know, you have more confidence in your Father working in you, giving you what you need. Have you done anything like that? See, those kinds of things, see. Or you direct it toward your flesh and you start to drift off. You know, you make a mistake in this. And it, do you understand? See, those are the kinds of things. A little bit, a little leaven. And you go down a track and you don't even know it sometimes. You know, looking at the flesh. Look it. It's not about the flesh. It's about what Jesus Christ did. It's what we have in Christ. We are what we are in Christ. And to allow ourselves to drift off and to think other ways, it's frustrating the grace of God. See? And you just kind of drift off a little bit. Let's get a little off course. You know? And, you know, these saints, God bless them. They ended up looking at their flesh. But it wasn't like they were denying Christ. They weren't denying Christ. But they brought in a little bit of leaven. See? And it affected the whole loaf. Isn't that something? So that's why we stay in God's Word. And by God's grace, we can stay put in God's grace. Isn't that something? It's not, you know, my great effort that keeps me in God's grace. It's God's grace that keeps me in God's grace. I just need to stay in God's grace. Right? Right. So, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to pray.